Welcome to the weekly Front Stretch podcast brought to you by FrontStretch.com. I am your host, Dustin Albino, and today I am joined by my colleagues, Joseph Volkan and Zach Tanzaretti, who are both here to help me break down the racing at Darlington Raceway from this past Labor Day weekend, as well as previewing this weekend's regular season finale at Richmond Raceway. But first, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. As the NASCAR world is in the midst of its playoff stretch, there are plenty of opportunities to jump in on the action with DraftKings. On DraftKings, the objective is simple. Pick six drivers, watch how they perform on Saturday, and if you choose correctly, you can be eligible for massive cash prizes. All you have to do to jump in on the action is sign up through the Front Stretch Podcast article page, make a $5 deposit, and you'll be eligible for a free entry into one of this weekend's contests at Richmond. Once again, DraftKings, where you choose, you play, and you win. Now guys, coming off of action-packed weekend at Darlington Raceway. Denny Hamlin swept the weekend. He had an incredible drive on Sunday night following a hell of a race on Saturday, but at one point during the final run of the race, he was 23 seconds behind Martin Truex Jr. and ran him down. Zach, I'll start with you since you were there. How impressed were you with Hamlin's grit and determination after making a costly mistake by missing pit road during his final pit stop?
Yeah, it was absolutely, a lot of grit was needed. I mean, when he missed pit road, I thought he was completely done, especially since he was really making his bed when it came to that kind of strategy, staying out that late. And when he stopped, or when he missed pit road, I'm like, he's done, there's no way. And we had over 100 lap green flag run to the end, and we just saw how important tires were there, that he was able to close that gap. And then Truex just, man, I was heartbroken for him. He's won quite a few times this year, but you're seeing him cut that tire down, and I mean, I think Denny was probably going to get him anyways, but obviously when you lose the tire, you're going to start to lose speed. So, he definitely needed a little bit of luck there, but a tremendous drive. He passed a lot of great cars and still got the win. So, hell of a race by Mr. Hamlin.
I can't believe that strategy actually paid off. After missing pit road, I really didn't think he was going to be able to maintain this pace, and I really thought that, you know, Denny Hamlin blew a shot at contending for the win, but clearly those fresh tires had made such a difference. And he was only, what, 10 laps newer tires? Mm-hmm. So it goes to show just how important those tires were in conserving them on Sunday night.
Yeah, I thought that both Mike Wheeler and Adam Stevens made, you know, a pretty remarkable call because they stayed out so long and they were going to lose so much ground as it was. And then he missed pit road, so he lost an additional probably 8 to 10 seconds. But on the flip side, on Wednesday, NASCAR announced that Hamlin's car failed post-race inspection due to what? The rear end. So, thus encumbering the victory. What are your guys' thoughts on, I guess we'll say, encumbered victories in general, and then we'll talk specifically about Hamlin.
I'm definitely open-minded to something like that, especially when it comes to playoffs. The sport's a lot different now than it was, you know, just a few years ago. And I listened to what Jeff Burton and Dale Jarrett had to say, and you know they kind of skewed me. They kind of changed my opinion a little bit because they definitely know what they're talking about. They've been around for so long. And, I mean, the thing that scares me about taking away wins, I mean, I know it's weird for the fans and for the media being there, and then we find out 3 days later, oh, that guy, no, he's not the winner. But, I mean, what if second place fails, and what if third and fourth place fails? I mean, are we ready to give a win to a fifth place finisher? I mean, just where does it end at that point? And it kind of opens up a little bit of a box here. But, I mean, I'm definitely open to either way, and it definitely rubs you the wrong way when, especially if you win both races, you fail post-race on both. So it's a tough situation, and there's a lot of gray area there.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I mean, this is the second time this has happened in the Cup Series this season, the first being Joey Logano at Richmond earlier in the year. And I'm curious to see if this is going to have a reaction to that number 11 team the same way it had to the 22 in the sense that Joey Logano is not the same driver since he had that encumbered finish. And to be honest, this is how short track racing should be. I mean, that's how it is in short track racing. If you get a penalty, your finish is taken away. It's that simple, and that's the way it really should be. And I'm glad that the Cup Series is finally doing this, and the other NASCAR divisions are doing this. But I think you need to find a better way to do it than announcing it 3 days after the race ends. That's just not productive.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about this. And I didn't see what Dale Jarrett and, who was it, Jeff Burton, you said, Zach?
Yeah,
I didn't see what they said, but I saw something on Twitter about how they wanted, like, six-figure fines or something. Is that right, Zach?
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, they definitely wanted to bump the money up, but, I mean, just the thought I have is, is anything going to stop these guys from pushing the limits? I don't think so.
Look at Joey.
Joey is screwed this year because of that incumbent win. Huh. How can that not stop teams from doing it?
Yeah, and teams are always going to, you know, push it to the limit. I mean, that's what NASCAR's become for the past decade. But in my opinion, I mean, once the checkered flag's over, a win's a win. I mean, this is going to probably cause a lot of controversy, and it's not a win. Wins got taken away, but look at other sports. Like, I'm a big Central New York fan, right? I'm from Central New York. Look at Syracuse basketball. Jim Boeheim got 101 wins taken away from some scandal, right? You look at Joe Paterno, he got over 100 wins taken away at Penn State. And sure, those are scandals, and that's a lot different than NASCAR and getting a win taken away and penalties, but I don't know. In my opinion, a win's a win regardless.
Well, you could say that about Barry Bonds, too.
Let's look at
Barry Bonds, for example. He's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Why? Because he cheated. Obviously, he's comparing apples and oranges, but at the same time, it does make sense. You have a theory where if you cheat, you should be penalized for doing so. And NASCAR, penalizing someone based on a monetary fine does nothing. We see in the past, Zach, you just spoke to Carl Long. NASCAR made an example out of him years ago for literally a small infraction. Taking away a win is a lot more effective than fining someone because, let's face it, not everyone can afford a fine. A fine can really hurt a team. But at least the point will get across if they take away a win.
Yeah, I mean, the end result is Mike Wheeler suspended for two races and fined $50,000. And I guess Hamlin's, stripped of the five playoff points. But, I mean, that could come into factor late in the playoffs. But that leads into my next question. Hamlin's won two of the past seven events, guys. He won in New Hampshire, the 19th race of the year. And in that same time, Kyle Busch has won two races. Truex won one at Watkins Glen. Is Hamlin now among one of the favorites for the championship as the regular season comes to a close? Joe, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I really think so. He's having a really consistent year. If you look back ever since the middle of the season, let's go back to, say, Talladega. After Talladega, struggle at Kansas. Okay, finished 23rd. Ever since then, he has won four finishes outside the top 10. That's it. That's an exceptional run. And this number 11 team is really picking it up. Okay, Darlington was the only time where they've really shown speed besides Loudon. But they're still running up front. They're competing for wins. And they're really using strategy to their favor. I'd watch out for that number 11 team heading into the playoffs.
And Zach, what do you think?
Denny, to me, has always been one of those really consistent guys. He doesn't really win a whole lot.
I could see him in the final. Martin Truex Jr. picked up 17 more playoff points on Sunday night. And then 15 for sweeping the first two stages.
What in the hell is going to slow the 78 one down?
I really don't care. Let me cut you off right there.
But is he really? Because he can get to Homestead.
He's damn near a lock for Homestead. Yes, I agree.
He's damn near a lock for Homestead. Yes,
and it's a one race deal.
And it, but statistically, Holmes then it's a one race deal. And it, statistically,
well,
Holmes has not one of his best tracks.
Also his own but you look at his season so far.
Yeah, I mean, we can predict champions. Yeah, I mean, we can predict we'll do champion final four.
Next week we'll do it
as we're like kind of previewing the playoffs. But yeah, I think
as we're like kind of previewing the playoffs.
I personally think Martin Truex is a lock for Holmes.
I personally think Martin Truex is a lock.
Yeah, I can't predict a champion right now. We got
I can't
anything can happen right now. We got
anything can happen.
He could have a bad Chicago, bad Loudon.
I mean,
he's out.
Ultimately, he could have a bad Chicago, bad Loudon. He's out for sure. Who knows? You know,
it's very unrealistic, but you never know.
And we still,
you never know. you never know.
Guys, but I want to talk about Kyle Larson a little bit because
guys, but
he had an up and down August and then he had
He had
an up and down August and then he had a
Sunday night, he had 124 laps despite finishing
14th. Sunday night, he had
124 laps despite finishing 14th.
Is that what Larson and the 42 team really needed? Chad Johnson
kind of get the 42 team really needed. Chad Johnson
kind of
get
the
ball rolling after a sluggish month.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a sluggish month, as you said, and for me, I definitely felt like they really needed a few solid runs going into the playoffs, like 124 laps going into the playoffs, like 124 laps left, finish.
If you look at both sides, would you rather get through on strategy or dominate the race and fall back? Overall this weekend, we saw the three different ways that you can win a race. slick pass. We don't see this type of stuff every week. But when you see that aggressive style of racing, I want to see people pushing it and doing well. They can win. But as I said, it's a gray area.
1949, and it's going to happen here.
Going on since 1949.
Well, Austin has to remember.
He's not ready for this. He's not ready for this. He's not ready for this. This is going to hurt him. This is going to hurt him. He might be playing himself. He might have put himself in a really bad hole. I would say his sponsors are happy that he's in victory lane and he's out of the conversation, even though I subject Green with Joe, the Jericho Jones deal is kind of the same deal.
I got to agree with Joe. Robin Drayson, man. I don't know. He sees him in it. Has already got him winning. Austin says he's admitted that. He didn't back down from that anyway. He took no prisoners. He didn't back down from that anyway. Straight up admitted it. I think the only difference is, okay, the rubber. It's a clean, clean turn. He never, yeah. He never, I mean, he definitely did on purpose. He didn't mean to turn him. I think he just meant to move him out of the way. It just was into a corner. A tight corner.
He hit him square in the back. I mean, you can't. But anyways, it was trying to be a bumper run. But anyways, we're going to Richmond this week. Zach, you and myself will be there.
What are you guys expecting?
We found this like the best three weeks now that are in there now. Are these 16 drivers? Are they done? Are we done? That's a tough one. Canning out playoffs. Where's best tracks? That's one of Joey Logano's best tracks. It's one of Joey Logano's best tracks. It's one of, it's going to be a tough one this weekend. It's going to be a tough one. They're being tight on this weekend. Yeah, and Eric Jones was fastest or second fastest there in first practice. And Eric Jones was faster or second fastest in the first practice. And then he crashed early on the race. And he's been fastest in the race. Four top fives in a row or something like that. Yeah, I mean, Zach, what do you think?
And then the race, Daniel Suarez, is he in the race? Is he in the race? No, Christopher Bell's in the 20. Just taking the other Joe Gibbs car besides Matt Tift. Just taking the other Joe Gibbs car besides Matt Tift. Zach, who you got? Pick him every week. Pick him every week.
He's just one of those guys where I feel like, yeah, I know he's just one of those guys where I feel like he's out of nowhere. 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 He's out of
All right, we'll mark you down on this podcast.
I'm going with Justin Allgaier. He's at 157.
We got to take away at the end kind of in the spring.
You know, late restart.
He won the Dash for Cash, but he was really upset about the finish.
He won the Dash for Cash. He was none too pleased about the finish.
I think he'll get it.
And then Zach, I'll start with you on this one. Actually, Joe, I'll start with you since Zach.
And then Zach, I'll start with you on this one. Actually, Joe, I'll start with you since Zach.
Who are you looking for in the Cup Series?
We mentioned about the 16 drivers.
Who are you looking for in the Cup Series?
I mean, you finished fourth there a couple years ago, but come on.
I called it first on the Jeff Gluck podcast last month.
The bad stretch of races.
I think he's going to start
Richmond, and then he's going to go bad stretch of races off.
He's been the best playoff driver in the past four years.
Until then, have a good weekend.